All right, good evening. It is Oceana Community Service District. It is 6:30 p.m. on the nose. We'll call this meeting to order. It's Wednesday, August 28th, 2013. Marie, can you give us a roll call vote?
President Guerrero?
Present.
Vice President Lucy?
Here.
Director White?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
And Director Angelo?
Here.
Yes, she did. Item number three is the flag salute. If you'll join me. Ready? Begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item number four is the agenda review. I do have a couple of changes I would like to make. Item number 10D, which is a business item, resolution number 2013-22, approving the agreement with Adamski, Murawski, Madden, Cumberland, and Green to provide legal services. I would like to move that to the top of the agenda. If the board decides to hire them, that way they'll be able to sit in on closed session and such.
Okay.
All right. I also want to see if the board, and we can address this at a later time, item 10F, which is the letter of support for 4th District Supervisor appointment, if the board wants to remain silent on that, or if the board...
That we add a public comment after the presentation. I know that being out in the audience in the past during presentations, I wasn't prepared for questions at the prior to the presentation and had some after their...
Well, public comment doesn't include being able to pepper the presenter with questions.
And I understand that.
There is public comment right before it, and there is also public comment at number 9. How does the rest of the board feel about adding public comment behind 6A?
Are we saying that we're going to take it from another area?
No, we're just going to put extra public comment. I would object.
I'm sorry?
You say you would object?
I would object to public comment because it's the audit has been written. The audit is the audit.
It's a special presentation.
Well, it's still just the audit.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's no way we are going to act on it or anything.
We're just having a presentation.
But I actually would like to hear what the public has to say. Because, you know, not to respond, but to see what people have to say.
Lori?
It doesn't matter with me. Whatever you want to do is fine.
And, you know, the only reason I suggest adding one in rather than waiting, in the past, speakers have ducked out before the second public comment, and that was the only reason why even if it's just for clarification, and I would say maybe the board could filter the questions or ask. I don't know. Are we going to have a chance to ask questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
So, those are my thoughts.
Molly, welcome back. It's like deja vu all over again.
I would suggest public comment prior, just limited to just public comment.
Okay.
This is just a special presentation. It's not an action item.
All right. That would be my inclination as well.
Well, my brain's not working too well tonight as usual, but I actually would like to have public comment after the presentation. How can you comment on something you haven't heard yet, particularly when it deals with the financials of the district? There's nothing more important than water and money right now.
That's true. This is not an action item, and Director
That's
White
right.
is correct. It's a presentation. The audit is the audit. There's no action that can be taken.
That's right.
There's no, there's nothing that can be done. It is what it is.
I wholeheartedly agree with you. I don't disagree with you at all. I just want to hear what people have to say after the presentation.
Then you need to do it before and after, just because the law is before. If people want to do it after as well, that's fine.
So it's your call, big man.
All right, we'll have public comment after that. There's not a question and answer session. It's just public comment.
And okay. Public comment before?
Well, we have Why don't we move 5 and 6?
There you go.
Why don't we swap 5 and 6?
Perfect.
Because the law requires public comment before.
Any presentation? Okay. Well.
The public needs to be given an opportunity to comment before, and if you want to add an additional opportunity after, that's fine.
Then we'll make it 6B. It'll be public
comment. Perfect. And like Molly, I wholeheartedly agree with you. It's not a dialogue. It's comments.
I move we approve the agenda as modified.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Agenda is approved by a vote of 5-0. Moving on to item number 5, then public comment. Are there any public comment forms this evening, Gary? Take that as a no. Okay. Ms. Tacker.
We're saving paper.
Ms. Tacker, good evening.
Good morning. Good afternoon. I guess it's evening already. My name is Julie Tacker. And first I wanted to address...
One second, Julie. Marie, can you start the timer? Thank you. Go ahead. You can start over if you'd
Julie
like.
Julie Tacker. I have some heartburn over the minutes. I sent a letter to your general manager. Maybe he has shared that with you. I don't know. But I won't go into the detail. He can do that. On the warrants, I just wanted the public to know that tonight you are making the $100,000 purchase outright for the Jetter. And now that I'm thoroughly confused about how to participate with regard to the audit presentation, if in fact you found errors, you could not adopt it, not file it. So you could have a dialogue with your auditor about making changes. There is action to take, and that is to receive and file, should it be in the order you like it. It came at the tail end of 10-11, and it was money that you really wouldn't have had the voters not allowed you to increase those rates. How does someone overpay themselves without anyone else in the district knowing about it and bringing it to the attention of the proper authorities? And with regard to accrued liabilities, how much of a swing did the accrued liabilities and the inaccurate accounting there cost the district in having to do cleanup? It may not have come out of your pocket, but the cleanup does. And your accountant is doing a fine job on staff, and I welcome her presence here. I'm sure my time is up or nearly up, but I will be interested in the presentation, and hopefully all my questions will have been answered.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Mr. Edwards, good evening.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. And I want to take the public comment time this evening to visit with you a little bit about the revitalization plan. And that's something I think we want to keep in the forefront of our minds. Charlton wrote a piece on August 9th about the revitalization plan. Supervisors adopt plan to revitalize Oceano. You may have read it. And I'll just go over a couple spots. And there are some comments I'd like to read to you from Oceanans, I believe. More than $100,000 in numerous community workshops later, Oceano has another plan for its future. And maybe you've digested it. The revitalization plan looks at proposals for future development in the bedroom community during the next 10, 20, and 30 years. Pretty long time horizon. Improvements include possible addition of lighting, sidewalks, crosswalks in downtown core, etc. It's interesting that Adam Hill was quoted, and Mr. Hill said, I'm hoping to see an investment in the community. I'm hopeful the community is going to flourish. And if you remember, this is the same Adam Hill that is moving the horses down to Oceano from Grand Avenue. I'm not sure how sincere he is. Now, some really sincere comments came from, again, some commenters on the article. Bert wrote, actions speak louder than words. It's time for leadership and positive growth in Oceano. Alexia wrote, when are we going to see the first project? Senior wrote, a lot of potential with location, weather, land, and water. just need to see some leadership and vision. Couldn't agree more. Another comment, concerned resident wrote, not one member of the OCSD attended, not one Oceano resident even spoke up when it came before the Board of Supervisors. Until Oceano starts caring about itself, nothing will change. So it is truly up to you. San Luis County's not going to be the answer. Caltrans won't be the answer in the end. Grover Beach, AG, Pismo, they're not going to help. It's up to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Edwards. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right. This time we'll close public comment. We'll move on to item number 6, which is the special presentation by Gary Jensen, partner at Caliber Audit and Attest, who will present on the OCSD district audited financial statements as of June 30th, 2012. Good evening, Gary.
Good evening. And I want to start everything off by thanking the district for utilizing our services for the last 3 years. We've really enjoyed working with your personnel at the district, found them to be very conscientious and helpful. And like we say, we've just had a very good relationship, I think, working with them over the years. Kind of an overriding comment about the audit process is it's gotten a lot easier over the three-year period. The first year was very difficult, very, very difficult, as you all know. The records were not the greatest of shape, and the whole point is us as auditors, we really only have one role relative to the district, and that is to hand you an opinion at the end of everything that says that we either agree that you presented things substantially in accordance with or in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles in all material aspects, or you didn't. And we don't have the authority or responsibility to actually post or change anything. We can't. All we can do is make recommendations and then have those charged with governance, the group sitting up here, make the decisions as to whether or not they agree and that these things should be adjusted or not. So just to kind of clarify our role, that is our role, is to make sure that we get things done in a timely, effective manner for you. So that's kind of the basics of what we do for the district, and the most recent set of work that we did was for the audit of the June 30 of 2012 fiscal year for the district. Happy to say again, we were able to get to a point where we could opine upon those financial statements that they are in all material respects in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. When I mention that audit, the board has received copies of the financial statement with the signed auditor's report that went along with it. And just to mention something about that auditor's report in the future, there'll be some slight changes to it when you look at next year's version. There was some pronouncements, professional pronouncements called the clarification standards that came through that will require us to present slightly modify the reports that have been issued in the past. They'll have headings on them, basically. That'll have the management's responsibility, auditor's responsibility, the opinion, and then other matters, which capture your required supplementary information and those types of issues. So it'll look a little different, but it really doesn't change the end game, which is the reporting, opining upon those financial statements in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. So hopefully they'll just provide a little more information for the user about whose responsibilities are included in this financial statement presentation that they're looking at. So that's coming up. Moving right along, in looking at a government, it's a little bit a governmental type entity. It's a little bit difficult when you're used to seeing business type financial statements. There's different focuses for different areas. And to me, though, if you really want to come back to, you know, how is the entity doing on a whole. It's kind of the first couple of statements that are presented, the statement of net assets and the statement of activities for the entire unit is really where you want to look, because that's the closest thing you'd get to how's a business doing. You know, if you looked at a for-profit type business entity, and you're trying to see how did they, you know, how'd they end up at the end of the year? Are they up, down? What happened? So if we can take a look primarily at those first two statements, I think that kind of says the tale for the district. And just starting with the statement of net assets, which would equate to a balance sheet and a business type environment. In looking at that, and this is just a single year presentation. Now, if it had been a dual year presentation, there'd be additional information that people could look at to see how things have progressed from year to year. But since it is a single year, I thought I would mention, though, to some extent, what the changes have been, so that you can think about those, because that kind of gives you the idea of what you need to do for the future. Just kind of running down the assets, the major things to note, cash went down by about $400,000 from the prior year in total, the cash and cash equivalents. If you look a little lower in the statement, there's a reason for that, because the liabilities that were listed also went down significantly. In total, the current liability or the current liability section went down approximately $600,000. So some of that money was basically used to pay off debts or pay off payables that had been accruing in the prior year but not being paid for whatever reason, whether it's a cash management, whether it's a cash flow issue. They built up over a period of time. And payables are always a timing thing. You know, they can be big and it can mean nothing. It's just you didn't pay them before the end of the cutoff date. Or they can be growing because you don't have money to pay them, which is a bigger issue to deal with. But again, that goes back for management to consider. So that's the one of the first things. And the second thing is that receivables actually went up $379,000 from the prior year. And there again, there's a reason for that, and that has to do with the grant monies that were coming in. We found, or the district found out, was going to be coming in during the next period that was actually for expenditures. It was reimbursement for capital assets, the depreciable assets, et cetera. There's a decrease net of depreciation noted in there. Well, you didn't really buy anything of any significance during the year, and depreciation happens every year. So that's the difference, is all depreciation. Liabilities, current liabilities, we already talked about. It's a matter of timing, and that's where the cash went. We get into your non-current liabilities. Same thing, payments down on debt. You know, those are scheduled payments that you're going to make. The good news that's coming up, it wasn't quite there yet for 2013, but the one debt, water loan payable, mm-hmm. is going to be completely paid off with the 2013 financial statements. So, and that last payment was approximately $65,000. So that's good news to look forward to, but it won't hit you till 2014 year. But those are getting paid down, and that's a good deal. Net assets. Net assets, you know, if you looked at the prior year, you'd feel pretty good that they went up $330,000. However, you have to remember that kind of you had a windfall of $440,000. So your net position is really $110,000 down when you look at it. So things to keep in mind as you're going forward. I'm guessing you're not expecting a $440,000 windfall in the next couple of years.
No.
Probably not. So that's what you'll have to deal with. And the next page gets into the statement of activities for the entity as a whole. This is a little bit different than a normal financial statement for a business entity to look at. It's broke up a little differently, but it really gets to the same point, your resources provided and your resources used during the year for basically operations, and then reconciles down to the change in net assets at the bottom. Pretty, you know, for the most part, you're looking at it. Not a whole lot to say about it. You know, there's some money's overspent, you know, given the resources coming in that you knew about. But luckily, the windfall from the grant monies were able to more than cover that. However, I know that you'll have to take a little more careful approach, and I know that that has been done already in your budgeting process. And so those are all good things that are happening at the district level for the accounting. So moving on from there, then the next statements get down to a breakdown of the various components that make up that overall entity. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time going through this. I think you can all take a look at it. Governmental entity versus the proprietary entities, where proprietary entities, you're trying to recoup some of the cost of providing these services through charges and whatever other means come up to recoup those costs, whereas the governmental entities, it's just what you have to provide, and it comes, you know, essentially from your tax base. So, as I said, I'm not going to belabor all of that. You can take a look at the proprietary funds statement on page 9 was presented to gives you a breakdown, 9 and 10 gives you a breakdown of each of those proprietary funds if you consider them as a unit, as a separate unit. You can tell how they were doing and how they fared during the year. Again, looking at the at that, at page 10, if you again you look at the big issue there is those $440,000 of grant money coming in under the sewer fund allowance, and there again. Not going to keep happening, so we have to plan for that. You get on to the statement of cash flows. This is a mechanism to point out what you use the money for, basically, where the cash came in, where the cash went out, and end of the day, did you increase or decrease in your cash position? So, again, nothing that you can't read. And then once you get into the footnotes to the financial statements, it's a lot of the detail about what policies, procedures are in place at the district, what certain account groups mean. And, again, you can read through those. Things just need to be done. And everybody understands that. That's why you've built up reserves in your cash and investments to be able to handle those types of things. So, all in all, that's the story related to the audit for the last year, the June of 2012, and we look forward to working with you in the future.
Gary, I have a couple of questions in the rest of the board. Do you know if or when the management was first alerted that there was a problem with the format of the budget?
Trying to think of timelines. Unfortunately, probably not until we really got into 2012, because the other budgets were... When we came in, the problem is when we came in, 2 years are already gone.
Right.
You
mm-hmm.
have nothing to do with it, and there was no... nothing you could do about changing anything that's already happened anyway. There were discussions that these are woefully inadequate for their purpose, but that's the case. And changes didn't get made, or enough changes did not get made in the 2012 budget process. And I do realize, though, everybody does have to remember that when everybody came in here, they had a terrible situation on their hands. Mm-hmm. We literally could not have audited either one of those first 2 years, you know, had you not gone through the extraordinary steps that you had to go through. To have someone come in and clean up those records, it would just be us failing to be able to put any kind of an opinion. We'd have to put a disclaimer on it that we don't know. You know, it was that kind of a deal. So, everybody's dealing with a lot of changes needing to go on. I'm not particularly trying to make excuses for anybody. It's just, you know, it was a tough situation. You know, I realize that. And like I said, the 2012 budget was not, in our opinion, just not in sufficient detail.
I'll turn it over to Lori. Do you have any questions?
No, but I have a feeling it's because the prior years were not in any shape either, so it was kind of hard to correct 12 when you didn't know what was going on 11 or 10. So I understand the problem.
Yeah, it's a chicken and the egg kind of a thing.
Yeah.
You know, we have to get to where the folks that are here actually can influence what's happening.
Right. And we have a much better staffing for that now.
Yeah.
Jennifer, do you have any?
No, not right now. Thank you.
Okay.
Hi. I actually do have a couple questions, and maybe you'll be able to answer them for me, and maybe you won't be able to. Mm-hmm. But I always wonder if payroll is comparable to other districts that are this size. Mm. And so I guess I look to the auditor to say, this is disproportionate to the staff or to the scope of work, or, you know, mm-hmm. God forbid you put a time study on, you know, people who work for you. I never do that to anybody I liked. So I wonder if things that, you know, where you have large chunks of funds rates going out to pay for the services, is it proportionate to other districts this size?
Well, you know, I can't stand
here from an auditor
and actually answer that question because we haven't done a particular study of comparing particular salary rates here versus other specific districts. Mm-hmm. That really is kind of falls into a management. Again, our role is to say, well, if management agreed to do it, and it's properly gone through, documented, and doesn't violate any laws, well, you know, that's their decision. We don't really step into the role of trying to manage the district. Did they account for it?
Well, I'm just saying is if you saw discrepancies in policies and procedures or something, and, well, let me give you an example here, okay? You state that on page 2.
Mm-hmm.
You say during our discussions with management, and I truly, sincerely want to thank Joshua and Marie and everybody for making this happen. I was there, so I know how bad it was. But you make a comment that says, yeah, the books are kept and the policies and procedures, there's absolutely no comparison. Mm-hmm. But can you tell me, our internal controls, are they up to where they should be now? Or, you know, is there more work to be done? Because in the past, we've been led to believe that they were up to standards. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of want to make sure they truly are up to standards.
Internal controls is a difficult area for all organizations. It's a cost-benefit analysis for every control. There's usually some kind of cost involved. Are things sufficient? I believe there's, you know, they certainly were good enough for us to be able to come in and do an audit. And that's really the extent of how much we look at the internal controls. that's a whole nother world if you want to have an engagement to evaluate the effectiveness of all the internal controls. What we do is internal control. We look at it to get to a position that we can evaluate the risks that things would or wouldn't get caught by management or by our audit procedures. And we try to, and then we use those assessments of those risks to develop our audit program and the extent of our audit procedures that we're going to perform in any particular area. Are they good enough? Well, we're not the ones to tell you that.
Who would be?
What we would do is we would identify the things that during our audit we thought needed attention. And that's the way that we would approach it. But it's not as exhaustive a study as if you hired a consulting firm, CPA firm, whichever consulting firm, to come in and do a study of your internal control system. There'd be a completely different approach, completely more, probably in much more detail, and probably cost you a lot of money.
Okay.
Well, I think maybe the follow-up cleanup question to that would be the areas that were identified in the audit control letter, have they been addressed?
Well, our understanding from representations from management is that in virtually every one of the areas that we discussed, policies and procedures had been changed and put in place. Now, we have not performed any procedures relative to any of that data as yet. So, are they effectively working? Couldn't tell you until we come in and do the review of it and do the audit procedures. Then I could tell you if they're effective. But at this stage, representations are that these things were put in place and are working. And that's pretty much what we said in our letter is, we've been told these things have been put in place and are working effectively. And they sound like they should do the trick. So, we'll see when we do the audit.
We'll see what happens. Karen, do you have any questions for Mr.
No.
Jensen?
No.
I just want to, the other thing too is obviously when we interviewed you, we made the whole staff available to you, and we would continue to do that, whatever you guys need in the future.
So. Oh, yeah. We've had wonderful cooperation from everybody in the district to be open to our inquiries and help us with whatever questions we had put out there. Say the first couple of years it was tough because none of them were here when any of that happened, and it made it very, very difficult for everybody, including us. And
poor thing.
But I think we were able. I know we were able to satisfy ourselves with the numbers that were presented that they were in accordance in all material respects. So that's.
Thank you. If there's
looking
no further,
better for the future.
Sounds good.
Thank you very much, Mr. Jensen. We appreciate your work and your
thank you.
Your reports. We did at the front end of the agenda agree to have a period of public comment following the presentation. Is there any public comment on this particular item this evening? Oh, we have a slip. This seems to says. Party, Giselle Naylor. Okay, there we go. Miss Naylor. Sorry, Giselle. You're
right. Regarding the audit that you talked about, I think it's good that we've got a full-on accountant on board. I think that's the first step. The audits, obviously, there's a lot of guidance from the Secretary of State's office and the Department of General Services, because they're in the business of records management. Then there's the State Controller's office. I'm sure there's guidelines you can use without having to make up your own, but you've got a lawyer. You should too, because you're talking about selling water to developers in Arroyo Grande, which is your prerogative. I mean, there's a lot of different players who potentially could buy this water. They're talking gas and oil development. They need water for that in Napomo. And, I'm just throwing that out there, but the request is ongoing, and this time I think I'm going to push it. if I don't get it, even the minimum.
If you could stay with the audit, Ms. Naylor.
To the Ralph Brown Act.
Ms. Naylor, could you stay with the audit? We're talking about the audit right now, not the public records request.
Well, I think I spoke to that in the first part, so I'll leave you at that.
Thank you, Ms. Naylor. Ms. Tacker?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and thank you for the opportunity to address the audit. Ms. Lucy, you asked a question about kind of prior management versus the most recent management. I think you were trying to see what was different in the years of Montemuro versus the years of Mr. Gieslin. And there is an internal control letter from
Marie.
It's dated March 15th. Your board didn't get it until mid-May. And when I asked about it, Mr. Gieslin said, we didn't want to pay for a letter like that. We knew what it would say. But we clearly didn't know what it would say. But now that we have two letters, we have this letter from this year, this most recent year that's been audited, and the one from the previous, both done by Caliber Audit and Attest. If you lay them side by side, some of the issues that in the term of Mr. Montemuro and Mr. Gieslin are the same. The bank reconciliations, the cash receipts, and the accrued liabilities. Those are the same issues that carried from year to year. What is different, and that you cannot blame Mr. Montemuro for, is overpaying oneself in the payroll section, and that small portion that the gentleman was talking about was the months of April through June when Mr. Gieslin signed his contract in April of 2012. So that's the small portion. But the other thing that they talk about in the internal control letter is the budget. Mr. Montemuro's budget was adequate. The money wasn't there, but it was adequate as far as you could follow the accounting. The budget that Mr. Gieslin produced, and you will see this same paragraph again, most likely in the next year's audit, because the one-page budget that I know I complained about was wholly inadequate.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment this evening? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 7, the consent agenda. There's review and approval of minutes, cash disbursements, will serve letters. No, you can't. If there's no board discussion, is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
What about the parking meters?
Yeah.
What about the real third?
I'm
do we need to separate those out? Do we need to separate the tech and will serve letters out from the rest of it?
We can, if there's a motion to separate those particular ones out. But I think Ms. Lucy just advised that she may want to abstain. Molly, if I remember our minutes correctly, an abstention is a yes vote? Our bylaws?
We went back and forth on that, and I think that we did decide an abstention was a yes vote.
That's my recollection as well.
I think that is what we
then
concluded.
Okay, then she's staying put. All right, why don't we do 7A on the consent agenda? Why don't we split this up to A, B, and D? There is no C. All right, is there any discussion on 7A, or is there a motion to approve the minutes?
I so move.
Including D?
No, 7A.
I move we approve 7A on the consent agenda.
All right, there's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed? 7A carries 5-0. Moving on to 7B, the cash disbursement. Is there any discussion or is there a motion?
That's,
yes.
Why are we doing that? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to direct that towards you.
Well, some of it we don't have the, we need the equipment to get us through it, for, like a camera, or we've been contracting out the flusher work because we don't have a flusher.
Well, we do.
Yeah.
Just don't anybody
yeah.
Can
but most of that type of work is really a pretty small pipe, so we're probably going to end up getting another small unit mm-hmm. to take care of that kind of, they generally call it a hydraulic rotter. So, you know, when we have a blockage and we don't have the equipment, we bring in a plumber to do it and get it through it. That's the answer.
And I think what this was the old fire station. They replaced the sewer lateral yeah. or the sewer coming out of it to the main, right?
So we got $10,000 in plumbing.
Yeah.
$10,000 in plumbing.
Yeah, and you probably got that much in, you probably got another $12,000 coming here pretty soon to replace a lateral.
And our guys that work in, the gentlemen who work in the yard can't do that type of work?
Well, the job, this next one that's coming up, no, you don't have the equipment to do it. But this line down here, I mean, that was the most expeditious way to get that done.
Was the plumbing? I'm asking about not so much the Five Cities plumbing, but it seems like we're contracting out a lot of services mm-hmm. that we are supposed to be doing by having a yard crew.
Well, I think your crew is doing the work that they have the equipment to do and getting it done in a timely fashion. And when, like that sidewalk job we did, your crew did all of that, did all the rebar, did all the back slurry and this, that, and the other thing. I mean,
that was at 6 or 10 feet?
19th Street?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was on 19th Street, but it's like 6 or 8 feet long.
Well, that was the hole that was exposed on the surface. It was much bigger than that underground. But, yes, that's the spot.
And then Nixon's machine shop?
That was your
booster pump?
Engine for the booster pump.
Was the engine?
Yeah, on the well, the booster pump.
Yeah. I don't know if it's more... if it's more cost effective to bring on temp help that actually has the skill set to do some of this, but I know that paying for a plumber to is not very cost effective.
Yeah, nobody likes to pay for a plumber. I know that.
They're just as much as attorneys.
No, they aren't. But
I thought I could get two at once.
You did.
How'd I do?
You got three.
Oh, I got three. Excuse me.
Like skipping a stone there.
You know, just making the statement, paying a plumber really understates the scale of the work. I mean, what they're doing is they're bringing in equipment that we don't have to get the sewer line open, the blockage removed, and clean it out. We don't have that. We're getting there, but we will. We don't have it now.
I have a question with that, too. Is the equipment they're bringing in is equipment that they own, or they're going and renting that and then coming and doing the work with it?
Oh, I think they own it.
Okay. Because if they're renting it, we could do that.
Yes.
So that was...
Yeah,
that would
rent
be my
it.
Suggestion.
I'm sorry, this company is right down the street from me.
Yeah. I beg your pardon?
It's a small town.
Yes. And what did you say, though? I have a lot of trouble hearing
That's
you over
okay.
here. Okay.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
I'm talking to my dog.
Well, maybe we ought to take a look at next time we have a problem like this, see if we can rent the equipment ourselves and see if it saves us any money, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
The guys can do it.
I when I went by and I did stop and I did, and when I saw the $75 an hour plumber with a shovel in his hand and others in from my neighborhood with shovels in their hands, right?
Mm-hmm.
I went, what's not working here? You know, and so then that's when I started thinking maybe we need to have another personnel committee meeting and maybe get some temp help or something, because it's just...
Yeah.
And you know what? It's sewer, not rocket science. You know, I personally replaced my water and sewer lines. all the way from the main, so.
She'll work cheap, too.
Yeah.
She will?
We do cheaper need, than I, any attorney.
Since you bring it up, I do want to have another personnel committee.
Yes, so I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to bring it up. Please don't take it personal.
I won't.
Oh, I know you won't.
Is there a motion to approve the warrants?
As much as I hate to, I'll make a motion to approve the warrants.
We have a motion.
I'll second.
Yeah, I think Jennifer beat you to it, Karen.
No.
So,
okay.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed?
And I think in other jurisdictions, they would tell them to take their techie models and go someplace else unless you want to make a community contribution. So I've tried to be nice, and I've tried to be aggressive, and then I've tried to go over there and be, you know, suck up to the people, to the developer. And you know what? Bottom line is this man does not care. He don't care what kind of trash he builds in this town, and he ain't printing out for any lights. So no, I will continually, till the end of my term, vote no on this man's projects.
Any other discussion? Is there a motion?
I make a motion that we approve item 7D, including will serve items for Tierra Nueve, 1742 Tierra Nueve. APN is 062-303-039. Will serve letter for Naval Court, that is lot 4 for Tacken Project, 634.
What developer was that again? I'm sorry, I didn't hear
that.
Which
one?
Which developer?
Tacken.
Okay, thank you.
Tacken. And get all these stuck together here. Maybe get one of that separate. Oh, okay. I was going to say we got a whole bunch of them separated. Russman, APN 062-303-039, Project 6465 Remodel. Tacken, APN 062-075011, Project
6340.01. Same thing. 001, you mean?
001, sorry. And the remaining three will be Tacken 062-075-002, Project 6340.02, and 062-075-003, Project 6340.03, and APN 062-075-004, Project 6340.04.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed?
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. Motion
no, carries. No. I'm absolutely opposed.
That's what I said. It carries 4-1. Director Lucy opposing. Moving on to item number 8A, I don't see anyone from the sheriffs. 8B, I don't see chief anyone from the fire authority. 8C, OCSD operations. Gary. If you could use the mic, Gary.
Well, let's see. We're working on getting the air pollution control district permit for the sewer jetter, and all that paperwork kind of came together today, so that's good. We mentioned before the sidewalk that we got installed and the slurry of all the pipes over on that big hole on 19th Street. Staff tells me that hole's been open for 10 years.
Who told you that?
Staff. So there's been a traffic plate there all those years. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad to see that that's been finished up. We had to get an encroachment permit because it was a big enough hole that it didn't fall under our blanket permit, and so we have a check out there, excuse me, for $950. You should get $500 of that back. But then we got another job coming up here pretty soon that's going to require a similar permit, so that may just roll over. As you know, the recruitment process for your full-time general manager is still ongoing, and we're making good progress. We got a vacancy in the office staff, but we've temporarily filled it with a part-time worker. And Marie is working on getting that formal recruitment out. I think she's pretty close to that today. We also have a vacancy on the utility crew, and we've got that going out in the same packet. And we will establish an eligibility list for the operations employee on that crew that we can use in the future if we need it. We got a quote for this sewer lateral that I was talking about. I mentioned it earlier I think it's on 19th. Yeah, it is. And that's the first quote came in at $10,600. So I want to go ahead and get two more quotes because we'll come in at a low enough cost that we can use the quote system instead of having to go out and do a formal bid process, which will save us a whole bunch of time. Other than that, we're working on things that I've been updating you on periodically, and we'll continue to keep things going.
Thank you very much, Gary. Moving on to item number 8D, Board of Directors and Outside Committees. Director Angelo?
I have nothing.
Okay. Director retained a district engineer on a part-time basis. That's Jim Gehring, while she is not able to work with us at this time. So we've got to keep things working. So he's just on a part-time basis, and that's it. So those are my reports regarding the Sanitation District. It'll again be next Wednesday, Roy Grandy Chambers. We are alternating back and forth every 6 months between AG and the OCSD to try to encourage public participation. Haven't seen our numbers go up for public participation, but anybody that would like to join us would be welcome to do so. So I'll pass over to VP Lucy.
I attended the RAC meeting. I don't know if I reported on that already, the Water Resource Advisory Committee. I know a lot of people have heard about the North County basin being in jeopardy. So a lot of us have been paying very close attention to the Board of Supervisors, who basically talked themselves to death and didn't do really much to slow down the straws from draining the basin, except for, you know, one-to-one exchange or something meaningless like that. But I have been working on the integrated regional master water plan quite a bit. I reviewed the evaluation tool with the subcommittee at the county the other day. I think as a committee, we all agreed that it was a relatively poor structured evaluation component to evaluate the grants that have gone in, the 92 that we had reported on last time, which then we were informed that that was a premature list. And we were also told when we were given that list that 28 projects would be funded countywide. That's simply not true. It will be closer to 8 to 10 projects to be funded countywide. So that was a huge disappointment. The evaluation was a huge disappointment, and the subcommittee, particularly Linda Chipping, took it upon themselves to rewrite it almost. So we spent a lot of time on that. I was able to meet with a couple people who gave me some more history on some stuff so we can be good advocates for the water in our area. I've been watching very closely the opposition to the Leticia water project going up the Los Barrios Canyon Creek. More and more people are coming out opposed to that. It's just not rational. It's a bad idea, and it will create harm to everybody, but particularly it'll create harm to Oceano. And so I think people should pay very, very close attention to that. We have three very large projects that are moving in on us very, very closely, up on our boundaries, up on our borders, and they're going to start going after our water, and I don't think they're going to ask. And that's the Leticia project, the Price Canyon project, and whatever you want to call that thing at the end of Grand. You know, a horse equestrian, a hotel, a circus, an arena, whatever. The bottom line is that our neighbors have been pumping at at a very high capacity for water, and now they have a plan to build a very large hotel at the end of Grand Avenue. So we have three big projects moving in on our boundaries. Wake up, smell the coffee and the water. So that's what I did on my day off.
I have something that I found today. I was in Santa Maria, and I came back on the frontage road through Napomo. And just before you get to the Catholic Church on the right-hand side, there's a small little subdivision, but across the street from that, there is an ag piece there, and they are currently putting a well in. They're pumping another well there. So I don't know if they're going dry on the one they may have or what, but I did notice that there's another rig they're pumping.
Well, in North County, what they're doing is they tried to punch as many wells as they possibly can before yesterday, and they put in retention ponds. Then nobody imagines what a retention pond will evaporate in 105 degree Paso heat. I mean, like, why bother? You know, but they felt better about it, so they've been pumping really hard on the basin for their little retention ponds, which aren't so little. They, you know, usually probably have about 25 to 50 acre feet each pond. So no, we have a crisis on our hands. Countywide, whether it's happening in the North County, South County, Central, it's happening. It's here. Welcome to the world of water.
Karen? Oh,
and Pismo Beach, who stepped in and bought state water.
Yeah.
The rest of them, they didn't do it. I don't want to have to list them either.
I want to add, I did meet earlier or prior to the meeting tonight with Henry Ponticelli from Lisa Weiss Consulting. He and I discussed how do you move from the next step from the supervisors approving this plan? How do you move from the next step? He gave me some ideas, and basically we agreed to get together again to talk about how it gets from being just a big consultant round table to actually being shovels in the ground, because that's what I ask him, because nobody cares if you spend hundreds of thousands of dollars if there's not shovels in the ground and there's no improvements. It doesn't mean anything.
It's been going on for years.
Yeah, so he agreed.
At least 25, 30 that I know of.
As to the Leticia group, we did receive a letter dated August 26th from the NCMA technical group. We'll go ahead and attach it to the minutes for people to see. And then also I just opened my this letter. I haven't had a chance to read it. It's from Dave Flynn from the County Department of Mental Works, Public Works.
Same thing.
He's going to love that.
I'll send him the tape.
I'm going to get sued for slander. The truth is a defense. They will tell you. But it was directed to Ms. Lisa Lowerson, the project manager from Caltrans, about the incorporation of the Oceano Revitalization Design Treatments into the proposed Caltrans State Highway 1 ADA upgrade project. I haven't had a chance to read it through, but I think that something should go out to the board and the whole public should get it. So I'll make it available at the break, and then please, this is my only copy. Don't run off with it. We're going to attach it to the minutes. So.
Yeah, we all want a copy of
that. Okay, well, we're going to take a break here in a second. So anyway, I'll close public comment with that, I'll close board comment. Let me get some caffeine or something.
Is it a Monday or what?
Something's going on. A drip, yes. We'll move on to item number 9, the public comment regarding the agenda items for this evening. Is there any public comment this evening? Mr. Edwards, good evening.
Thank you, President Guerrero. Again, good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I want to talk about a couple things real quickly. First of all, your item 10D, your contract or the contract with your new legal firm, I've reviewed that contract. I have a couple thoughts or questions and certainly welcome this new firm. I know Mr. Baring, I don't know this gentleman yet, but he did introduce himself. On paragraph 1.4 of the contract, again, Mr. Baring, his capacity as assistant district counsel. And there's reference in paragraph 1.4 to Mr. Baring's representation of LAFCO. And my comment is that I'm aware that Mr. Baring also represents the Air Pollution Control District as well as the San Luis Municipal Council of Governments. So I was wondering if that if those agencies might want to be included in that same paragraph as he does represent them. As you know, when you sent out the RFP for this position, I urged your board to make sure that the firm had strength in both water and special districts. And I'm not sure who in that firm has the specialization or expertise in water, but presumably they do, and they'll be able to help in the coming discussions. I would hope that there are no conflicts also with other agencies, including the CCWA, any of your other NCMA member agencies, San Luis Obispo Council, or San Luis Obispo County, or the Flood Control District. So those are all agencies that are interwoven into the water issues. The second item I'd like to talk about is 12B, and that's your closed session item concerning the Langstaff matter. And I'm not having been privy to your closed session discussions. I'm at a little disadvantage, but I have to say that from the outside looking in, this appears to be a matter that should be settled. The appearance is that this is additional Tom Geeslin collateral damage. And, you know, I don't know what the thinking is, but I would urge your board to consider settling that item. The last item I'd like to talk about is item 14, correspondence, and you mentioned the Letitia letter. While I would, I think that is important to follow that project and other projects in surrounding communities, I wanted to point out a project that you may not be following as closely, but one that has equal or greater impacts to your water situation, and that's the Phillips 66 refinery. Phillips 66 refinery uses 1,100 acre feet per year. That's more than this district uses. And they are increasing their capacity. That project is going to the California Coastal Commission on Wednesday, September 11th.
That's right. It's not an agenda item.
Good evening, board. I wanted to thank our general manager for the first time since we're talking about water for actually verifying that I was hooked up to sewer. I've been asking for 13 years, and he came up with a very simple solution. You drop diet tablets down your toilet, flush the toilet, open the manhole at the bottom of the street, and see if the dye water closed the manhole, which it did. I couldn't get an answer for 13 years how that was done, and our general manager of 1 month figured that one out. The other thing, regarding your reports from the RAC committee, let me give you a critique. I'd like to see something written, and after listening to people, Miss Lucy come back and talk about what she, you know, deliver her speech about what happened at the RAC meeting, I still have no idea what is the plan for Oceana Water. There needs to be some more specificity, and maybe a one-page written report might help. But to just come in, for example, and say, oh, that Letitia winery, that's a terrible project. Oceana's going to suffer. I want to see, like, how many gallons of water they think they're going to need, what they're going to use it for, how much is it going to cost to get water there if they want our water. But to just come in and make a lot of general statements does not help Oceana stakeholders know what the best thing to do is and what the board should do. So RAC is the source of information. There needs to be some specific information being brought back. Thank you,
Ms. Naylor. Is there any other public comments this evening? Good evening, Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and in the order that you've now taken the agenda, item 10D, in the staff report, it says there was an ad hoc committee of the board, and I was unaware that an ad hoc committee of the board had been convened. So I'd like to know more about that. With regard to Mr. Minery and his firm, welcome aboard. And you might not know, but this board is about 6 months behind in its Brown Act refresher courses, and there are two new board members who have not been versed in the Brown Act, so you might want to try to put that up to the top of the list of things to do. And I wish Molly well if she indeed is off the cases for the district. The item 10A, you're going to repeal a resolution that you enacted last meeting regarding the transfer of, you'll hear about it, I don't have to explain it. What I would like to know is what other strategies are on the front to help the water fund overcome its situation in that it is in the red. Item 10F, you've taken that off your agenda, but I would say that you as individual board members should write letters of recommendation, and I would recommend that Mike Wynn, or I'll let you know that Mike Wynn was the only candidate there yesterday through the 11-hour proceedings at the Board of Supervisors. I found that very commendable, and that he is a man about water. And if this district wants representation regarding water, he's your guy. 10G, the letter from the ratepayer whose mother passed away. You have ordinance 2001-6, Article 4, Section 5, discusses how to disconnect. And apparently, that woman was never advised how to disconnect her water service. And she tried to let your district know that her mom had died, and in writing, by putting death certificates in the mail. And for some reason, the district didn't do that. And the bill accrued, you accrued legal bills, your lawyer wrote letters to a probate. It got very messed up, and clearly it's collateral damage from Mr. Geislin.
Thank you, Ms. Tacker. Is there any other public comment this evening? All right, seeing none, we'll close public comment, move on to item 10D. This is the resolution 2013-22. Approving the agreement with Adamski, Morosky, Madden, Cumberland, and Green to provide legal services. Jeff Minnery is here from that law firm. I think that if the board approves this tonight, which I see, generally what happens in legal is you bill in a six-minute increment, so it is a six-minute, not a 12-minute increment. So that has been changed as well. Is there anything else that Mary had a concern about mistakes?
Well, way in the past, we've had legal counsel make horrible legal mistakes, and the district has had to pay for it. So we've had to take on that liability, and it's no attorneys that anybody knows in here. But no, truly, it's not. But I have seen it happen repeatedly where we've had contractors such as legal and engineer make grave, grave mistakes, and we've had to pay for them. Can you kind of tell me a little bit, like, no, we pay for our own mistakes, or no, we nail you for them, or I'll come up with some language for you.
Yeah, there's a microphone right there, too, Mr.
That's Mayor. That's the playbook, right. The three options I gave you.
Thank you, Mr. President and directors of the board. Law is a tricky business, and there's a lot of judgment calls in it involved on a daily basis. I will tell you that we will provide you the highest degree of legal services, and you will be represented competently. Looking back at what you might call a mistake from a Monday morning quarterback position when there's judgment calls involved, pretty dicey considering the way the law is, where you're not just referring to a book of rules. But I will tell you, we will give you the highest level of representation. Does that answer your question?
Well, it answers it. It's not what I was looking for, but it answers it. I appreciate that. You know, first part, you know, kind of spun me around, but no, you know, I understand that you'll provide the best legal services possible. I truly believe that you will do that, right? But I'm talking about bad legal advice that just isn't factual and it has gotten us in legal trouble. And we've had to suck it up and pay for it. Not just in legal dollars, you know, the legal company made the mistake and we still had to pay them $250 an hour to say we made a mistake, and then we had to pay the fine. You know, so that's what I'm thinking. You know, an innocent, simple thing. No, that's not what I'm talking about.
I do understand what okay. you're saying, and I'm a little bit at a disadvantage because I don't understand exactly the type of mistakes you're talking about, but I will tell you that...
We're just gonna go on good faith, I know, which is not... In the Library of Law, but we'll just go that you'll just do your best.
Thank you. I do appreciate the board's trust,
and I appreciate no mistakes.
If there's no further questions or comments on the contract,
I'll make a motion.
All right, go ahead, Mary.
I move that we accept a contract to provide legal services from Amsky, Morosky, Maiden, Cumberland, and Green, LLP. Do I need more?
Pursuant to resolution number 2013-22?
Yeah, that.
Okay, I have a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Can we get a roll call vote, Mary?
Sure.
All right, Marie.
Vice President Lucy.
Yes.
Director White.
Yes.
President Guerrero.
Yes.
Director Blackburn.
Yes.
Director Angelo.
Yes.
All right. Motion carries 5-0, and I'm signing the contract as we speak. I'll give a copy to...
He says he's got the ticket.
As amended, correct?
Molly, don't celebrate just yet, because there will be some passing the torch.
He hasn't signed yet.
Yes, you get to be called names.
She's not going anywhere without me.
Before you're cut loose.
Mr. President, that's as amended, correct?
That is as amended. I did handwrite in the amendments on here, which was the 30 days, and the one that I have actually already had the 0.1 billing hour corrected. I'll have this copied. We'll give you back the original. Take back to your firm tonight. So, thank you very much, Jocelyn. Moving on to item number 10A, Resolution number 2013-19, rescinding resolution number 2013-18, which authorized an internal transfer of the OCSD administrative building from the water fund to the general fund. There is a staff report attached to this. Looks like, whoops. That would be my take on it. That it was properly accounted for before.
With the Safe Water Drinking Act compliance. So it has to do with water. New facilities was very not descriptive on the asset listing, so it led us all to believe it was a building. And all the research we did was looking at it from a building perspective, and this was the only building that we got at that time. So that's why we previously thought it was the admin building. Getting more information afterwards, all I can say is that I was wrong. And clearly, I still don't know what improvements they did, but they did something. That $1.2 million is not this building. Therefore, we have to rescind what we did last board meeting.
And what year was that in?
1986.
Well, I don't think that's the sheriff's substation, because that's
it has to do with getting us in compliance with the safe water drinking.
It is infrastructure. It is water infrastructure. That's what the grant was for. So it went into your water system, and as she said, we still don't know why. We probably will at some point once we get through looking. But
what we do know is that it's not this building, and that's why we cannot.
And it wasn't the water main on Beach Street. It wasn't the yard. So
I am very sorry for all the confusion.
Okay. Any other further discussion for Jocelyn?
No. Just Jocelyn, I would look at the tank up on one of the tanks up on the hill, mm-hmm. because for some reason 86 in one of those tanks. Just can you look? We have two tanks up on the hill, and maybe one of those tanks was purchased in 86.
Okay, I'll definitely look into that. Thank you for steering us in the direction.
I was still in high school. I don't know. In SoCal. All right, I'll move to approve resolution number 2013-19, rescinding resolution 2013-18, which authorized an internal transfer of the OCSD administration building from the water fund to the general fund.
Second.
All right, Marie, will you do a roll call vote, please?
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
And Director Angelo?
Yes.
All right, motion carries 5-0. We'll move on to business item 10B, resolution 2013-20, rescinding resolution number 2012-13, which adopted the delinquent utility rate payer list. It turned out the person we were going to collect on paid after
Correct.
We passed the resolution, if I'm not mistaken. So
surprise.
too bad we can't bill them for our time. But anyway, if there's no further discussion, I'll make a motion to approve resolution number 2013-20, rescinding resolution 2012-13.
I have a question on that.
Oh.
This will not flag their property in any way, shape, or form, correct?
That's correct.
And they'll get proof documentation that in no way will this flag their property.
The county never put it on their tax bill. Our list goes to the county.
Right.
And they put it on their tax bill. It was paid, and when we confirmed with the county that it had been paid, it never went to their tax bill.
Okay. I just don't want there to be a negative impact down the road.
Correct.
That's why we're actually rescinding it, so that it goes off the books totally.
Well, we can rescind a lot from this, and it doesn't mean it happens at the other end.
It was. It's
good point. Then we wouldn't know where to find it if it did.
But if it's not on the county rolls, it never will be now.
Yeah.
Is there a second?
A second.
All right. Marie?
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
All right. That motion also carries 5-0. We'll move on to item number 10C, resolution 2013-21, extending the appointment of Gary Keefe as the district's interim general manager until such time as he is relieved by the board of directors, but no longer than November 1st, 2013. I think what this follows is we have a closed session regarding hiring a new full-time GM, but we haven't done that at this point, so we need to extend it. He runs out of hours in October, and we don't...
Yeah. You know,
and we don't want him to... we don't want to mess up his PERS retirement, shall I say.
Yeah. That I guess I misunderstood. Under the current resolution I run, this should have been my last meeting tonight. So with this resolution, it extends me, two more months?
Yeah.
And I actually could give you another, probably another 2 months, close to another 2 months under the state rules that control my retirement.
Be careful what you ask for.
I'm not asking.
Now we know. We have it on record.
What's that?
We have it on record. He could stay through December.
Oh, nice. Okay. Sounds good to me.
I make a motion. We approve resolution number 2013-21, extending the appointment of Gary Keefe as the district's interim general manager.
I spoke with a lady today that I think made a really good point. What we thought we were sending out was second notices. Apparently, the documents are actually titled late notices. So some folks were quite outraged when they received it because they knew they weren't late because they'd paid it. But her point went along this line. She's a lady. The second notice does not include consumption on the bill. It just says, you know, you owe this much money. So we emailed her a copy of her first bill so she had it. And I want to put something on the website explaining to people if they want to know what the consumption is. And in this case, as I recall, this lady was a property owner that had a rental unit here. So she didn't know, you know, what the consumption was, and she wanted to know that. And so I want to put something on the website that indicates if they will need that information, they can get in touch with one of us, and we will provide it to them, either hard copy or through email or something.
Okay.
Now, do we have controls put in place now since we have this software that we'll be paying for the rest of our lives? Is there something to stop this from ever, this oversight and error from occurring since we have this great, expensive billing system.
Well, you know, you answered your own question. It's not the software's fault. It's a question of oversight. And I think it's going to take two eyes. Two eyes are always better than one set of eyes to make sure that the bill that's going out is that the bill group that's going out is correct.
Okay, well then let me ask you. We send out approximately 7,200 statements, right?
No. About 2,500.
We send out about 2,500 statements. Mm-hmm. And how many of those statements were missing?
Half.
Pardon me?
Half.
Half. And so, not the machine, not the human, nothing goes, wow, there's only 1,200 this time.
There was no oversight. The individual that sent it out and made an error.
Is there some way we can program the software to catch that?
No. This is a hands-on issue.
I don't know. I've worked with data sets before, and if I had that much data missing out of a data set, I wouldn't be able to finish my spreadsheet. It just wouldn't happen because I wouldn't have all the data. I believe that the Tyler system can be set up to eliminate such huge errors like this.
Well, I'm sure we can certainly talk with the provider and see if there is some sort of a signal that we can put in there.
Because let's make that software work, because we paid big bucks for that, and so turn up the volume. Let's make it work.
Yes, we will.
Any other questions, Mary?
Comments? No.
Director White?
No. I noticed on the resolution, I don't know, maybe I was just reading it incorrectly, but on the second line, it says, whereas it has been discovered that many OCSD, I think customers maybe should be in there, did not receive utility bills.
What's that, Jennifer?
On the second paragraph, I guess, of the resolution.
She's correct. We're under the second whereas.
Yeah.
OCSD should say customers.
Meaning customers is missing.
So used to seeing OCSD.
But besides that, no. I don't have any other comments.
I didn't catch that.
I'm sorry. Can you say that again, please?
That's okay. And the second whereas after OCSD.
Yes. Got it. Thank you.
Okay.
I think I typed that, so sorry.
Yeah,
that was my mistake. I typed it myself.
Oh, my.
That one.
Got a chink in your armor now, too.
She's got fresh eyes.
Okay. Is there any other corrections or questions, comments, or is there a motion?
I move that we accept Gary for another 12.
Oh, we're on a different one, though.
Oh. You do what you want to do.
Okay, we're on resolution. Okay, I'm going to move to approve resolution.
Oh, dear. We're all rummy.
2013-23, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceana Community Service District ordering a one-time waiver of late fees associated with the bill mailing error experienced on the July 25th, 2013 billing.
I second.
All right, Marie, if you could do a roll call vote.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
Director White?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. The motion carries 5-0. We'll move on to item number 10G, complaint regarding the utility bill paid for by the estate of a deceased customer. The way this came about was this particular customer called me, and I spoke with her on the phone, and she gave me all of these details that are contained in her
letterhead.
And I asked her if she could write it to me in an email. She said that she would. I thought that it was pretty. Or Marie, how many billing cycles this was for?
It took several months to resolve it. It was going through probate.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure exactly how many billing cycles were involved in it. I think part of the issue was notification came after the fact on some of it, and I don't believe it was taken care of in a timely enough fashion. So.
Yeah. It actually held up the escrow on the house because there was this lien against it, and so she ended up paying it, but she's asking for relief. I would be in favor of her giving relief, and especially that she spoke with two staff members, including one of them having been Mr. Giesland, and so to me it should have been handled.
Yes.
I agree.
With a big letter
of apology.
I'm so sorry.
Right. So is there any other discussion? I mean, my proposal would be that we refund her the money, the $644.34.
Do we want to refund all of it or half of it?
Well, one of the things we could do is we could find out what the minimum service charge is. Like, we had that issue on Grell Lane where the guy was hooked up to service still,
yeah,
even though he had a well, and he had to pay the minimum charge.
On Grell Lane, it was not as much as it would be here because he was only paying for sewer,
not water.
In this particular instance, she would have water as well as sewer.
Do you know what the minimum charge is?
It's right around $95 to $98, somewhere in that neighborhood. There's been a couple of rate increases on the water and the sewer that have been small, so I don't know the exact numbers, but that's for a two-month. That's for a single billing cycle. So
roughly $49 a month.
Thereabouts, yeah.
I mean, well, that's simple enough to calculate. We'll just go back and look at the time period and see what the minimum monthly charges are and add them up and just refund the difference. Is that what I'm understanding?
I don't know. I think maybe we ought to just refund the entire amount for the inconvenience to the family because, you know, obviously they tried to resolve this and it didn't get resolved. And, you know, I don't think we're talking about a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
Karen, you have a pretty good sense of this.
I actually agree with Lori, with Ms. Angelo. You know, we have, in the past, we've split bills in half, but I think this one was, looks like it's purely the fault of the district.
Yeah, that's
right. And as of March, the water would have been turned off.
Mm-hmm.
And April, May, June, you know. And it's an excessive amount for that time, besides which I would support returning all the money.
So would I.
All right. Jennifer, do you want to weigh in?
No.
Okay. Then I'll make a motion that we refund an amount of $644.34 to her name is blacked out. I forgot her name.
Well, to the family.
I don't remember what the name
is. Is there a resolution?
Oh, I think the signature block is down on the bottom.
It's blacked out.
Is I blacked that out too?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, so the address. For the address. There you go.
It's blacked out as well.
We don't have that.
Perhaps we could trail this until after the closed session and we can pull her address and just make that motion.
Sure.
Okay.
That makes sense, Molly.
Made public? I guess it does.
Yeah, or you can just identify it by OCSD item, the letter.
Okay.
Identified as OCSD item 10G, August 28, 2013 agenda.
Okay.
The name's all redacted. As long as it's properly identified.
All right. I think there's not going to be any question about whose this was. Okay. Then I'll make that motion that we refund pursuant to OCSD item 10G from the August 28, 2013 agenda, the amount of $644.34.
I'll second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay. Thank you, Gary. Item number H, fiscal year 2013-2014, I think there's a typo, fiscal year 2013-2014 audit engagement letters. This is from Caliber Attest. We just had Gary Jensen here this evening. Let me turn to Ms. Lucy first. Is there anything you want to add to this particular engagement letter?
No.
Does anybody want to have any questions or concerns or comments on the engagement letter?
What's our budget show? Because there's a.
It's increased on this one, yes.
Yeah, there's. They want a little more money, and do we have that money in our budget? Or?
Yeah, it would be $925 over our budget for this year.
How much?
$925. Because they gave us a proposal for 3 years.
And that's why in the staff report I included attachments of other districts and what they're paying based on, I got the information off of their websites, off their budgets, off their other auditors' proposals.
I think the question was, do we have enough money in the budget to pay for this?
Well, we only budgeted for one. Well, I take that back. I'm sorry. Can we go back to the budget? When we did the budget, I did the budget on a cash basis scenario, what we're spending out. Since then, I plan on talking about at the quarterly review about changing our budget to more of an accrual, a modified accrual to match our audit reports, so that when we actually do the budget to actual on our audit reports, they are more in sync. For example, even though we paid the bill in July for services that were done in May and June, even though it was paid in July, I want that to go, you know, into the prior year. And so I was going to have a discussion on that. So right now we have budgeted for two audits this fiscal year, but it's going to go down just to one. There's been other changes in the administration fund that we're going to be doing on our budget. And I do think that we have enough money to pay for this. We budgeted a lot more money for our software maintenance, and we were able to reduce software maintenance costs by $2,000. And there's other things that we've been doing in-house to save money in the administration fund. So come our quarterly review, we'll be able to shift the administration fund without affecting the other enterprise funds.
Mr. President, there is a typo in this, but I think it's my typo. Joplin staff report calls this the 2012-13 audit, and so it shouldn't be
2013-14. Yes.
I was wondering. Where?
And the audit is strictly billed under admin, right?
That's correct.
You don't do a percentage from sewer, percentage from water, or any of that?
It's part of the entire administrative fund. Administrative fund gets allocated at the end of each reporting cycle.
Correct.
So as long as our administrative fund budget is in total the same, it's not going to affect water and sewer. But the net effect is always going to be 48% of the administrative costs are always going to go to water, and 36%.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the price of the audit is only 100% is billed towards admin. None of it is broke out to the other categories, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
Can we go back to what you said? I was confused.
Yeah, if you look at your staff report, you're asking for a 2012-13 audit, and the agenda says 2013-13, which is obviously wrong.
Actually, I think she's correct. I think it is the 12-13 audit.
It is the fiscal year 12-13 audit engagement, because they're going to be auditing
this
last year.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, she was right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm wondering, and you guys can just tell me what you think, but just because of the high cost of the audit in general and trying to save money, I'm wondering if we should do an informal, well, I don't know how it would work for an audit, but if we should do the three quotes or three bids or, sorry, I'm not sure if we should do the three quotes or three bids. For it. I don't know.
Well, we agreed to do three or four audits
before.
It's best
okay.
Not to change the auditors every year, although yeah. You should change
periodically.
You should change for quality assurance, you know, at maximum 3 years, right? So this would be their third audit.
Fourth
audit, excuse me. So is there a contract for four? Is fiscal years?
Is this part of a contract from before, or is it?
No, okay. It's actually, they only proposed for three, so they've already done the three. This would only extend for one more year.
Okay.
But I would like to make a comment on this particular topic. When you solicit for more bids, right,
mm-hmm.
Every auditor knows when you go into a job, there is a lot of upfront costs that they have to do. And so if an auditor sees that we're changing auditors every time, every couple of years, just to save money, they're not going to want to come to us, because they know they're investing. The first 2 or 3 years is going to be a lot of costs written off on their part in the anticipation that they get to stay with us longer. The other good thing about staying with Caliber is that over the last 3 years, they're able to see some of the problem areas, and they have experience auditing those areas, where a fresh auditor is going to come in and have to relearn everything that Caliber has already learned. Not to say that. I will add that I'm pretty close to having all of our audit stuff ready to go to the auditors, so as soon as this is ready signed, we can start this going
forward. And then the audit will go, and we'll have it not done a year behind.
We'll be
okay. Yeah. Is there a motion to approve?
I'll make a motion to approve audit engagement letter for Calvert Audit and Attest LLP for the June 30th, 2013 audit.
Is there a second? All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion carries 5-0. If you'll flag me down, Jocelyn, I'll sign that. You can send that off.
Who was the second on that?
It was a Director
Kieran.
The moving on to item number 11, utility items. There are none. Item number 12, closed session. There are two closed session items. A is public employee appointment. Pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1, to consider the appointment / employment of a public employee, the general manager. Item number B, conference with legal counsel, existing litigation. Paragraph 1 of Subdivision D of Section 54956.9, name of the case is Langstaff versus OCSD et al., United States District Court for the Central District of California, case number CV12. -8541ABC paren PLAX close. It is 8:34 p.m. and we will adjourn into closed session at this time.
Can we stay here?
Yes. Going to be.
All the rumors you heard are true.
All right. Thank you for staying, Giselle. Ready, AGP? All right.
Oh, go ahead. So, let Karen give you a taste. So, my friend goes to Stone Soup, Bill Nichols. She said, mentions water. Bill Nichols goes, "Do you know that Mary Lucy?" She goes, "Yeah." He goes, "You know she's a convict."
Well, call this meeting back to order. It is the Oceana Community Service District, 9:30 p.m. We have just returned from closed session. As to any announcement out of closed session, we would have no reportable action at this time. Moving on to item number 13, board member comments. Are there any? Go ahead, Jeff. I may be corrected already. Jeff Minnery.
It's not on.
It's not on. You got up. There's a little button.
A pile.
There's that.
Oh, one more time. There you go.
Now you got
Thank
it.
You. Actually, as a quick correction, I think in regards to public employee employment pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1, to consider the appointment of a public employee in closed session, the board has determined to extend an offer of employment.
That's correct. Thank you very much. Are there any board member comments tonight that we haven't already addressed?
Not for me.
All right. Lori, Jennifer?
No, nothing.
Received written communications. I already provided a couple that I had received. Anybody else?
No.
Future agenda items. I thought we had on the agenda tonight was the issue with the sewer backup from about a month and a half ago and the non-compliance. Gary, is that on?
You had a lot of things on the future agenda item that
yes.
I pulled.
Okay.
Out of time. But yeah, that is on there. And as I recall, what you wanted me to do was to look into ways that we can recover our costs
yes.
if that backup is caused by a customer, and we
yeah.
will get there, I promise.
Yes. And then I think we also want to talk about our sewer laterals at some point. We had a discussion. Yes.
I have a master.
Any other future agenda items? And all right, move on to public comment. Is there any public comment this evening? Oh. All right, item number 18, we'll adjourn. It is 9:32 p.m. Everybody have a good night. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good night.